Good day, friends. We come into your family circle with another program of Bible Truth, and we're beginning a new series on the broadcast today that we're simply entitling A Few Minutes with the Bible. You know, we're going to ask you for the next eight periods of time that we come to you to concentrate especially upon just a few minutes with the Bible. You know, I've heard people say that they sit down for a short period of time, and sometimes people read the newspaper, sometimes perhaps a lady may crochet or work at some craft, and during that time or during your day, why not take the Bible and just spend a few minutes with it? So we're going to be with you in an informal fashion for the next few weeks, each time at this week, at this hour, sounding forth the marvelous truth of God's Word. I'd like to have you think about conversations that Christ had that we have recorded in the Bible. I was thinking when I was preparing this series of the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, who came to him by night, a leader of the Jews. And you remember that was the great teaching that was offered there by Jesus in John 3:3, that except a man be born again, he could not see the kingdom. And how Nicodemus wondered how a man could be born through a physical fashion the second time. And Jesus explained in verse 5 of John 3 what he meant in verse 3. When he said, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. A wonderful conversation. It certainly set a tone for the entire picture. Then I thought of the conversation Jesus had with his apostles there, as recorded in the 16th chapter of Matthew, when he came out of the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And if you're going to be reading that in your Bible shortly, well, of course, look at the 13th verse. That's where it begins. And he asked them two questions. The first question was, whom do men say that I am? And, of course, they told him that men were saying that he was John the Baptist, as we would say, come back from the dead, because John had been beheaded at this time, or Jeremiah or Elias or one of the prophets. And then he said, whom say ye that I am? And that's when Simon Peter, in verse 16 of that momentous 16th chapter of Matthew, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This went on, of course, for Jesus to say, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed us unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then I thought of the conversation Jesus had with the Samaritan woman in chapter 4 of John, and how that he offered unto her the true picture of worship, how that God is a spirit, and they that worship him, might we say as true worshipers, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we told you on one of the broadcasts, where the Spirit and truth meet is truly found in the gospel of Christ. And then I have one that I'd like to call your attention to from the 6th chapter of John's account of the gospel. You see, Jesus had been very popular in his teaching and the performing of his miracles by the feeding of the thousands of people. And his fame went throughout the entire region, and there were people who came from every place, we might say, to hear and, might we say, to see what this great teacher would do next. And undoubtedly there were people who were thinking that this truly must be the Messiah. But as they kept coming and Jesus performed miracles, then he offered teaching to them. And I do not have time on the short period of time that we're with you today on the broadcast to go into all the facets that are found in the 6th chapter of John, but I might offer that as an assignment if you'd like to read it and get full benefit out of it, that Jesus is talking about some very weighty matters as far as the soul is concerned. Well, when this happened, as it is true even today, there were people who began to turn from him. I remember a brother telling me a good many years ago when he would go into communities for what was considered a Bible reading or a Bible study. He said to begin with, there would be people who would turn out that perhaps had not been to service for some time. And then as they got into the teaching of the Bible, and one really was called upon to do some thinking and meditating, there was a sloughing off in attendance. Now, certainly it wasn't because the man wasn't a capable teacher. It wasn't because the material was not proper and right. But it was simply from the standpoint that many times people do not like to think. Well, I want to encourage you as we talk to you on the broadcast today to never let yourself drop into that type of state. Because thinking has a great deal to do with not alone your primary obedience coming from sin to righteousness, but it has a great deal to do with your spiritual well-being. One must think intently about what God's Word offers. If you have time sometime to read the 4th chapter of Philippians, and we're giving you various references on the broadcast today, you'll find that Paul emphasizes the thinking, people to think on these things, and then to follow it with their doing. So that's really what Christianity is. Well, getting to this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, dropping down to verse 66 of the 6th chapter of John. If you're taking notes, that's John 6, 66. Not hard to remember. It says here, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He follows by saying, And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, and as it was stated by Martha, which should come into the world." So we're aware of the fact that here is a wonderful conversation. The disciples, of course, were following Jesus, but people began to leave him. Those who may have been his disciples for some period of time were now going back and walking no more with him, and perhaps they would simply look upon Jesus as a memory in their life or in the activities that they were associated with at the time. But then the statement is made here by Simon Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. May that be indelibly imprinted upon your mind from John 6 and 68. Really ask yourself the question today as you listen, to whom would one turn if he did turn away from Jesus Christ? I heard a brother say one time that there was actually no substitute for Jesus. And I've often wondered when I've read the Bible what would have happened to you and to me, to the salvation of our souls and the salvation of the souls of the world, if Jesus had failed. You see, he would put to the test. We talked to you some weeks ago about the test the devil put him to, as recorded in Matthew the 4th chapter, how that he tempted him there in the wilderness when he was hungry. He tempted him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he tempted him on the mountain. But every time we find that Jesus did not fail, he came up with a Bible answer. He came up with chapter and verse that stopped the devil cold. So may we say to you on the broadcast today for your reflection, and with the few minutes that you're taking with the Bible here on the broadcast today, to ask yourself, Lord, to whom shall we go? Whom could we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When Jesus offered the wonderful teaching there to his apostles in the 14th chapter of John, he pointed out very definitely that he was going to leave them. But when the question was asked by Thomas, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So there could not be a substitute for Jesus, but I'm glad as we talk to you today that there could be a substitute for you and for me. Recognizing the fact that Christ came down to this earth, making himself of no reputation, taking on him the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. And then the record continues to read from that famous second chapter of Philippians, and I can picture the Apostle Paul writing that as he's a prisoner in Rome. He said that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And isn't it a wonderful thing when Jesus went the full extent, when he actually became our propitiation, when he actually became our atonement, when he became, we might say, the true scapegoat to take the sin out of the camp, then we were given an opportunity by his death upon the cross to realize upon the other side of that darkness of death, it was God who raised him up. It was God who gave him a name which was above every name. It was God who decreed that everyone should bow to him in heaven and earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm wondering as you contemplate this on the broadcast today and as you think with me, if you can realize how vital it is to hold Jesus in the proper place that we truly hold him. These people who apparently had come out for the feeding of the thousands of people, who perhaps were saying, as we could understand people saying today, well, what miracle will this man perform next? You see, these people did not have a very deep faith. They might be likened unto the seed that fell on the rocky soil in the parable of the sower. Well, it sprung up. It had the evidence that it was going to produce a crop. But then when the sun came out brightly and beat upon it, it withered because it did not have depth of earth. We're asking you on the broadcast today, as you think about what Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That you will ask yourself the question, how deep am I really spiritually? How far down are my roots today? Might we say to you as we talk to you on this broadcast that one thing that will help you to put your roots down deeper is to acquaint yourself more completely with what the Word of the Lord has to offer. Don't just look for the loaves and the fishes. I fear today, with all due respect to people, that there are many people who are swept away, we might say, by a certain religionist, whether the person be honest or not. We are not saying we don't know. But they're swept away by, we might say, the tinsel and the glamour. That, my friends, is just a veneer. These miracles that Jesus performed were performed for the purpose of producing believers. And might I say to you, as we look at the Word of God, we read it, we study it, our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the few minutes that we've been able to take with the Bible today on the broadcast has brought out a wonderful conversation. Why don't you think about it this week? Why don't you read the Bible more diligently, be in the house of the Lord, and keep in mind that your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast stand ready to help you in your pursuit of that which is right. Listen to the announcer for time of services of the congregation that brings you this broadcast. Won't you tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next time as we'll take a few more minutes with your Bible.